All right, good afternoon, everyone. We are down to the third installment of our series called Apostles' Creed. We started this series 2 Sundays ago. Tom, I believe, preached a powerful word talking about God, the Creator, you know, the Almighty. And it started talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is equally God Himself. And if you remember, in that specific preaching, we talk about the Holy Spirit, who is basically equally God. And last Sunday, we've looked at the second part of that creed, which basically talks about what? The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. This afternoon, we're going to talk about the third one, and this is rather important. Let's look at the creed for a while. This is the Apostles' Creed right here. Let's look into this for a while. If you want to recite this with me, you can do so. It says here, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Then here's what it says here. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. That's what we're going to talk about here this afternoon. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven. That's what we're going to talk about next week. Okay, and he sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Then it says here, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. And it says there, amen. All right. As we are looking at this creed, I hope that by now, it is clear with everyone as to what a creed is. Right? A creed basically is a system of belief. Okay, I do understand it says here Apostles' Creed, but it wasn't the apostles, okay, the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ who wrote this down. Okay, the guys who wrote the Apostles' Creed were the early church fathers. The reason why they wrote this down was that there were a lot of lies circulating about Christianity. So basically, they just wrote this Apostles' Creed to basically what? To summarize the New Testament message. Okay? You folks remember your New Testament? It starts with what? The book of Matthew. Okay? You start from the book of Matthew down to the book of Revelation, and then that's basically what comprises the New Testament. If you would summarize the message of the New Testament, it can actually be found in this Apostles' Creed right here. So if you're asking me right now, is it actually good to memorize the Apostles' Creed? The answer is an absolute yes. All right? But at the end of the day, like what we said last week, obedience is better than sacrifice. At the end of the day, reciting and memorizing the creed do not result in a changed life. Obedience will result in a changed life. Amen. Okay, at the end of the day, we have to make a distinguishing mark between a creed and a deed. Okay, what God would want us to do is to do the deeds, okay, that is basically based on the creeds right here. So this is the part of the creed that we're looking at here this afternoon. It says here, talking about Jesus, it says here, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. Then it says here, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. All right? Now, in a nutshell, just to summarize this part of the creed right here through pictures, it starts with a guy called Pontius Pilate. Meaning to say, the reason why he was ordered, crucified, or flagged for that matter, was because of the order given by this Roman guy right here. I think everybody knows this, in the Philippines especially. Okay, we know this, that, you know, it was under the order of Pontius Pilate, okay, while he was crucified. And of course, we know what happened. Upon the orders of their supreme boss, okay, not by Caesar, but by this man right here, the Roman soldiers basically what? They took Jesus and flogged him. Okay? They beat him up, and basically, the pinnacle of that torture resulted in the cross right here. He was crucified, and guess what? When he was crucified, he didn't faint. He died. Is it clear? Our Jesus, the Jesus that we worship, died on the cross. All right? That is what the Bible says, and that is what basically the creed tries to explain. He died on the cross. He was crucified. After that, of course, everybody knows this. When you die, something needs to be done to you. When you die, you're not left on the street. Every dead person should be perfect. Okay, the others are cremated in our time right now. But for him, he was buried. That's why he was placed in a tomb. And guess what? It didn't end there. This is what we're looking at here. He was dead for 3 days. On the third day, guess what? He rose again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. It says here, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel." This is Paul. "Of the gospel I preach to you, which you receive, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Now, allow me to just give you a brief background of this text that we're looking at. Obviously, you know, Paul has an audience here, and we're talking basically about the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was a local church, just like Victory Dumaguete. But the reason why he was writing this was there were a lot of lies that were basically going around in the church. I mean, umamang here, as a Christian, you have a lot of questions. Di ba? Minsan marami tayong tanong. Okay, you try to ask this, you try to ask that. And guess what? There's actually nothing wrong with us being full of questions. The problem was that whenever you try to embrace lies as your truth, that is where the problem would come in. Okay, Paul was writing this from a place called Ephesus. He was writing to the Corinthian believers. It was a church that he was with for, I think, 18 months. And after leaving the church, a lot of bad things happened to the church. And of course, as a church leader, he needed to come in and correct it. And he did so by writing this letter. So if you would study the book of Corinthians, which I encourage you to do so, you would come to understand that 1 Corinthians is actually a book about admonition, about correction, all rolled into one. Okay? It's a correction from Paul. It is also a book of instruction for that matter. Okay? He would instruct them as to how to do orderly worship and stuff like that. Now, let's look at verse 1 for a while. It says here, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand." I want us to fix our eyes on the word remind. Now, who can honestly say that you have friends who are really forgetful? Sana naman yung mga asawa, hindi ba kalimutan yung mga asawa nila, no? Okay, sometimes we're really forgetful. We don't know where we kept the keys. We don't know where our eyeglasses are. We don't wake up one day, forget your name, and you put names in yourself as Tom Cruise or something, no? Okay, but to a certain degree, a lot of us are forgetful. And guess what? This is another reminder from Paul, being a church leader. But not just that, if you look at the word remind right here, in its original Greek, that word means norizo, which means certify. Okay? Do you know of anyone who's graduating today? Guess what? The diploma that he or she is going to receive today certifies that he is part of Batch 2016. Are folks with me? In the same way, what Paul is saying here is this one. The events that are happening in the life of Jesus or the events that has happened in the life of Jesus certified that he was the Christ. Okay? That's why he was reminding them about all of these things. The events that happened to him, we're talking about the different events, the crucifixion, okay, his burial, his being risen from the dead, all of those things basically certify that Jesus basically was the Christ. And then in verse 3, it says here, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." Now look at this one. If you're here this afternoon and you're someone who loves planning, okay, you love planning, you love writing down on paper the things that you're going to do this week or next week, guess what? Diba, there are things that you put in the category of urgent and there are things that you are put in the category of important. And there are also things that you could put in the category which is things that you could do next week or next week. Right? So it's basically the same thing with this one. It says here, "For I delivered to you as of first importance." Okay? When something is important, okay, there's an urgency to protect it. Are folks with me? Now look at this one. Here's what Paul said. He said importance. The original Greek for the word importance is the word protos, which means what? First in time and first in rank. First in time and first in rank. In short, it is like the chiefest. Okay, there's no such thing, but it's something like that. It is the chief of the chief. Now look at this one. If you go back to verse 3, it says here, "For I delivered to you as of first importance." If the word importance means first, then we have something that is redundant here. Are folks with me? You're basically talking about, "For I delivered to you as of first. Tama po ba? Because importance means first in rank. So many say importance basically means in Greek as first. So here's another redundancy here. First, first. It's like saying that what this thing is the first or the first of the first. Guess what? It only gives us a picture that what Paul is delivering to them is something that is like a cornerstone. Are folks with me? Why do you love receiving balikbayan boxes? Diba? Meron mga boxes na excited tayo. May mga boxes naman na hindi tayo masyadong excited. Aminin. Diba? Pagka amoy states yan, medyo exciting. Okay? Pagka amoy somewhere yan, amoy bulad, hindi masyadong exciting yun. Tama po ba? Now, in the same way, here's what Paul is saying. You have to look at what I am delivering to you because what I'm delivering to you is the first of the first. In what sense will that make sense to all of us? Look at this one. Have you ever watched a movie that doesn't make sense? Right? Bakit hindi namin make sense? English ba? Medyo hirap ba tayo? Di ba minsan nanonood ka ng movie? May mga movies before na hindi ko talaga maintindihan. Ano ba yung movie ni Leonardo DiCaprio? O yung Inception. Ang bihira. It took me 2 years to understand it. Anyway, there are movies wherein you pay 200 pesos. How much is a movie in Robinson's now? 170. It used to be 100 pesos. Can you imagine that? You pay 170 pesos to watch a movie. You're in a movie theater that doesn't have an aircon. But anyway, you're seated there. A movie would usually last for 2 hours, right? You're in the 1 hour and 15 minute mark of the movie. And guess what? You still do not understand the movie. You feel like, man, it doesn't make sense. Masakit na yung ulo mo, naubos na yung popcorn mo. And then guess what? A character comes in, and the moment you saw the character, you're like, now I know. It's because of this character that everything else makes sense. You folks catch that? There's a character that comes along or someone would unmask himself, and now everything makes sense. Now you're so happy that you understand the movie. I want you to catch this. That is basically what has happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything was bleak. Everything was basically vague until Jesus Christ basically came in and every single thing that has happened in the past basically points towards Him. And that is basically what Paul is trying to explain to the Corinthian believers right here. Now look at this one. Here's what he is saying. He said, Christ died for our sins according to the verses that we've just read. Jesus died for our sins. Can I ever say my sin? Okay. Our sins. Look at this one. Christ was buried. And then he said, Christ was raised on the third day. And then he started saying, Christ appeared to Cephas, which is Peter, and then to the 12. Okay. And after which, if you read further, it talks about more and more witnesses seeing the risen Jesus Christ. And here's what he's saying. If you get to understand this, this is the first of the first. Meaning, say, if you may, or if you want, you could start forgetting any other thing as long as you don't forget this. He's like saying, you have to hinge your life. These words right here, these truths right here should be the cornerstone of your Christianity. If you start off somewhere else and then you don't have this, then we are in a dangerous path. And that is basically what Paul is saying here. Let's read the text again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. One last time. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you receive, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. So it pwede palang ganun. Unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Now what do you notice here? It keeps mentioning the words what? In accordance with the scriptures. It keeps mentioning the words in accordance with the scriptures. What does it mean? It's as simple as saying, it has already been written in the past that these things will happen. Meaning to say, it syncs with the events that has happened in the past. Let me just try to qualify this for a while whenever you read your Bible. How many of you love reading your Bible? Your Bible is one of your best friends. You love reading your Bible? Is there a difference when you read a paper-bound Bible compared to a digital one? May difference. Anong difference? Yung feel. Feeling nyo mas holy kayo. Pag paperback, tama? Oo. So, feeling nyo lang yun, ha? Feeling nyo lang yun, okay? Minsan naman, mas maganda pagka paper talaga kasi hindi ka napapa-Facebook. Next naman. Hindi naman parang lahat ng binabasa mo pagka digital, pagka phone mo, kailangan mo i-post lahat. Di ba? So, baka para sa'yo yun, hindi para sa mga friends mo. Tama ba? But anyway, let's look at things this way because it says in accordance with the scriptures. Let's look at this. If Jesus' story is comprised in these pages right here, The four Gospels, remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. These pages right here. Guess what? There's like thousands of pages before that. What he is saying here, what Paul is saying here is this one. When he said, in accordance with the scriptures, he's saying that there are a lot of things that has happened here that points to the story here. Are folks catching this now? Okay, let's say that your Bible, just an assumption here this morning, let's say that your Bible is a historical textbook. Okay, let's remove words like the Holy Bible. Let's just say it's a historical textbook, just like your world history book. Okay, who among you love history? You love history. Di ba you remember who's the most read historian in the Philippines, if you really love history? His name is what? Gregorio Zaide. Remember that guy, Gregorio Zaide? Patay na kasi yun. Pero at least, andiyan pa naman yung libro niya. He has written books about Jose Rizal. He has written books about the history of the Filipino people. Right? Gregorio Zaide, together with his daughter named Sonia Zaide. Right? Now, look at this one. If you would look at this plainly as a historical narrative, look at this one. Here's what will amaze you. You're talking about a book that was written in the span or in the course of 1,500 years. Written by more than 40 authors. Some of them are shepherds. Some of them are kings. Some of them are farmers. Written in different places, in different time. And what is amazing here is that when you start reading it, you would come to understand that there is a progressive revelation. There is a progressive revelation. What do we mean when we say progressive? It comes in what? It comes in increments. One day you would have this much. Next day you would have this much. Next day you would have this much. At the end of it, the climax of all of this is found in the events that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a progressive revelation. That's why I'm telling you, if you read your Bible, this is the revelation of God right here. Guess what? No one can come up to me and tell me, you know what, Archie? I got a revelation from God. And guess what? All of the revelation from God has already been written down. There's no new revelation. Do you folks know that? There's no new revelation. You know why? The reason why there are so many Christian cults out there is because people keep saying that they have a new revelation. Guess what? Everything has been written down. This is the revelation of God. The revelation that sometimes we have in mind is not revelation, but it is an illumination from the Holy Spirit. So that by the time you're reading it, you would come to understand, this is what it means in my life. Every single text that you find in your Bible only has one meaning, but it can have different applications. Okay? So what the Holy Spirit is telling you is not a brand new revelation. It is basically illumination from God's Word, which is the written revelation. Now, anyway, going back, like what I was telling you a while ago, there is a progressive revelation. Things were not instantly revealed in the book of Genesis. Diba, you love playing, you know, games that makes you an NBI or investigator. Diba, when you try to investigate, you look for what? You look for clues. And that is basically what we're looking at here. There is a progressive revelation. Here's what I want us to understand. The Old Testament basically points to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, okay, the book of Colossians says, these are shadow of the things that are yet to come. And all of these things that has happened in the past basically points to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what makes us a privileged generation right now? We are privileged because we are in a standpoint where all of these things has already happened. And we're just basically recipients. We just receive all of this mercy and grace that God has for us. Okay, progressive revelation is found in His Word. So let's look at the delivery that Paul is talking about. What are the things that are rolled up in the delivery? First one is this one. Here's what he said. Jesus died for our sins. Okay, Jesus died for our sins. That's what the Bible says. Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says here, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Let's try to look at these verses for. It says here, for Christ also suffered once for sins. Now, I do understand that all of us here know this next picture right here. We know the crucifixion, right? Have you ever seen this image before? How did Jesus die? He was what? Ayan na po, oh, sa picture. Crucified. Ang tawag dyan, crucifixion. Kayo naman. Hindi ko alam kung nag-iisip ba kayo or... Yan lang po yung nangyari kay Jesus. So meaning to say, we're not here this afternoon to answer the how. We know how He died. He was crucified. So what we're endeavoring to do here is to understand the why. Why was He crucified? Because guess what?
if you understand not just the how, you understand the why, it starts to change your life. If you try to understand why he was crucified for that matter, then it says here, but Christ suffered once for my sins. Look at this one. Can everybody point your finger up for a while? Just point your finger up. Then point to yourself. Tell yourself, my sins. Ilaksan natin konti. My sins. Ayan. Pwede. I was having a conversation with someone. I was talking with someone. This is an old friend of mine back in high school. He learned that I became a Christian and he started asking me all of these crazy things. And of course, I don't have answers for everything. But anyway, we started talking about sins. You know, he's a sinner. I am a sinner. We know that for a fact. It's just that, you know, he's doing some crazy things that I just cannot do. Okay? We arrive at the idea of sin. And just to cut the long story short, at the end of our conversation, his reaction was something like this. He was like, wala akong pakialam dyan. If I was casual, if you have friends who are like that, they don't care about what you talk about. Especially when you start mentioning their sins. All right, folks, with me. When you start telling them, hey, what you're doing is wrong, according to the Bible, they don't want to talk to you. They give you these kinds of, you know, faces right here. Now look at this one. Allow me to just talk about this for a while. There are so many people out there who think that talking about sin is a Christian propaganda. People would say, you know what? Man, you guys have invented all of these things. Who are you to judge me? Minsan ganun pa yung sinasabi. Gina-judge mo ako. Hindi ko, sinasabi ko lang. Sinasabi ko lang kasalanan niya. Hindi ka gina-judge. Minsan judge. Pinabato sa ating mga Christian judgment agad. Hindi naman natin gina-judge, di ba? Gina-judge niyo ba? Kayo, gina-judge niyo ba yung mga friends niyo? Huwag niyo i-judge. Sabihin niyo lang na mali yan. People don't want to go to church because in a church, people talk about sin. People make me feel bad in the church. In a sense, that's how we feel. Now look at this one. Allow me to just make an analogy for a while. You know, an atheist basically would exist to what? To disprove the existence of God. Here's the fact. The thing is that even the devils know that there is a God. Are folks with me? And they shudder. Buti pa yung mga devils, hindi atheist. Here's the problem with atheists. Atheists would say, their proposition is something like this. There's a deity out there, but I will exhaust all reasons and explanations that I could do to disprove that he is there. It's the same thing with sins. Sometimes we would try to rationalize or justify all of our sins to convince ourselves and the people around us that we are not sinning. To comfort ourselves for that matter. Listen, do you folks realize that it's actually a dangerous thing whenever we make sin relative? People would come up to me and something say, you know, what I'm doing might be good for me, it might not look good for you. But at the end of the day, you are not to tell that what I'm doing is wrong. Well, I'm not in that position to do that. But at the end of the day, that's a dangerous proposition. You know why? If people would say that sin or the idea of sin is basically relative, should reconcile with the fact that what if one day someone is raped in front of you? Let's say you're not a believer and someone is raped in front of you. Here's my question. Is that something wrong or not? If your conscience tells you that what that man is doing to this girl is actually something that's wrong, and the man who's doing it would tell you, you know what I'm doing is not wrong. Tell you what, we are in a dangerous position. At the end of the day, we will have to subscribe to a biblical moral standards. At the end of the day, we will have to look at what the Bible says about this or that. At the end of the day, we need to reconcile with the fact that sin is something that really offends God. Are folks with me? Our sins basically, you know, nailed Jesus on the cross. Because we cannot pay for our sins. Because the Bible is very clear. It's a universal principle that applies to everyone that sin equals death. Do you folks realize that, you know, one day you are stealing paperclip, the next day you're stealing vaults from the bank? Why? Because the things that you suppress might lead you to numbness. A petty crime becomes a heinous crime. Pornography becomes rape for that matter. At the end of the day, we have to deal with sin head on. And guess what? Because we cannot deal with it, Jesus dealt with it. Jesus dealt with something that we cannot basically deal for ourselves. The next verse says here, the righteous for the unrighteous. Obvious naman po yan, di ba? Okay, sino po yung righteous dyan? Si righteous, si? Hindi nyo po alam. Si Jesus. Alam nga naman kayo yung righteous. Tapos siya yung unrighteous. Malabo. Si Jesus yung righteous, tapos tayo yung unrighteous. The righteous for the righteous. There is a substitution. Wala po akong makita ang ibang picture na pwede dyan except this picture right here. Ayan po yung maisip ko lang na picture. The righteous for the unrighteous. Yung isa righteous, yung isa unrighteous. Okay? So alam nyo pong joke yan, di ba? Joke yan, wala magagalit. Okay? Anyway, here's what happened. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. The righteous for the unrighteous. Here's basically what happened. Jesus lived the life that we should have lived and died the death that we should have died. Jesus lived the life that we should have lived and died the death that we should have died. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. He committed no sin. That's the thing. So meaning say, the biblical principle applies, doesn't apply to him. Sin equals death, doesn't apply to him. Why? Because he was what? He was without sin. The Bible says, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. So, deceit is not found in his mouth, the table, the refrigerator, whatever. Okay? Joke yun. Okay? Tawa konti. Medyo corny nga lang na konti, pero joke yun eh. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he himself bore sins in his body on the cross. Have you tried carrying something that's so heavy? Di ba? Parang gusto na mabali ng likod mo. Di ba? Sometimes you're not friends, sometimes your parents, someone would ask you to do something or carry something that you cannot carry. Here's what the Bible says, he himself bore our sins on his body on the cross. Yung nagpapabigat mo kay Jesus, hindi lang yung cross, pero yung sins natin. Sa mga babae dyan, kung kayo po kinilig kay Carrot Man, Carrot lang po dala niyan. Huwag kayo kiligin sa tao niya. Makilig kayo, kiligin kayo kay Jesus. Ang dala-dala niya, sins niyo. Jesus basically died for our sins. Kilala niyo yan? You guys know this guy? Alright, so I think you have to be on Facebook once in a while. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Here's the result. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. That's the reason why he died. That's the reason why Jesus died. Look at this one. There are so many stories of death out there. You guys know Martin Luther King Jr., right? I have a dream, but my four little children. You guys know this? Because of his cause, because of his death, okay, the history of the American people started to change. Okay, black people are now welcomed, not just as slaves, but as real citizens of the United States of America. Okay, if you don't know this guy, you are familiar with this guy right here. His name is Ninoy Aquino. Because of his death, people picked from his cause and started to work on the cause that he has. Now look at this one. There are so many people who died, and because of their death, it has given an opportunity for people to what? To experience different kinds of privileges. You know what's the difference with the Lord Jesus Christ from the death of Martin Luther King or Ninoy Aquino right here? The people who are following them had faith on their cause. You folks catch that? That's why they became game changers. Their following had faith on their cause. The difference with a Christian man is that our faith is not just on the cause, our faith is on the man. We put our faith not just on his cause, but we put our faith on himself, on the very man who basically died for us. The Greek word for bring there is the word prosago, which means render acceptable to God. And here's the result of that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. We have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. If you put your faith in the man, then you could boldly come before the presence of God. The second thing that I want us to understand here is this one. Jesus was buried. Just to be clear. What do you do to someone who died? You bury them. And that is basically what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was buried. Jesus was a corpse na pwede mong ilagay sa body bag. Jesus was something like that. He didn't faint. Alright? Just to be clear, Jesus actually died. And guess what? The creed says he descended to hell. Now, I'm not gonna go into different routes. Let me just tell you something. Descended into hell there simply means that he really, really, really died. He experienced the fullness of death. Fullness of death. He experienced what it means to really die. And that is basically what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this one. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46 to 48. It says here, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. Here's what happened. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloa, Eloa, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Those were the cries of the Lord Jesus Christ when God the Father turned his back on the Son. Jesus died, period. Jesus died, period. And that is a fact. Now, don't you think that Christianity would be a sad story if we ended here? Aren't you glad that Jesus, basically, he died, but it didn't end there? Look at this one. When you go to Robinson's, you go to the grocery, what's your favorite thing to get in the grocery? You get Wilkins water, ano pa? Ano pa yung mga gusto nyo kunin sa grocery? Chippy, Piatos, ano pa? Yung mga ham, okay, ano pa? Wine, kanyari lang kayo. You get all of these things. Look at this one. You get all of these things and you pay for it. What proof do you have that you really paid for it? Receipt. If you don't have a receipt, then there's no proof that you really bought all of these things. Listen, Jesus resurrected on the third day. You know what it means? That is like the receipt that your sins are paid for. May resibong hawak-hawak si Lord. I want you to catch this. Crucifixion deals with a crime. Resurrection deals with a claim. It deals with a claim. Do you have friends who are like that? Masyadong mayabang. Ang daming sinasabi. Kasi hindi naman kayang gawin. Ah, alam mo bro, ako, pagkapurma ako ng tong babaeng to, makikiligin na sa atin yan. Ano ka? But the difference with Jesus Christ is this one. The things that he was claiming, guess what? It's coming to pass. Jesus actually resurrected. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 to 21, it says here, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied by them all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Guess what? Just a teaser. That is what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about not Jesus' resurrection, but your resurrection. Time will come. Time will come that you yourself will resurrect from the dead. Why? As a believer, sin equals death. Jesus paid for your sins, therefore death doesn't belong to you. Kaya wag po kayo may insecure. Sa itsura nyo ngayon, darating po ang araw, magkaka-glorified body kayo. Hindi nyo kailangan ng chinchansu, BB cream, CC cream. Hindi nyo kailangan lahat ng mga yan. Hindi nyo kailangan ng kojik, silka, omena. You will have a glorified body. That is what we're gonna talk about next week. I want you to catch this. When you are sick today, you're sick today. You have a flu, you have cough or colds or something. Or you know of someone who's actually sick. Okay? Or you became sick at a certain point in this life. Lahat tayo, tama? Nagkakasakit po tayo. When you're sick, what do you pray for? You pray for what? You pray for healing. We pray for healing this lifetime. Someone gets sick, we pray for healing. We lay hands on them and guess what? We believe in faith that this person is going to get healed. But I tell you what, at the end of the day, healing is not our ultimate hope. Our ultimate hope is our resurrection. The time will come that we will know no sickness. That our bodies will not decay. That we will forever worship the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. And Jesus would start telling us that he would wipe every tear in our eyes, that there will be no mourning, and there will be no grieving for that matter. Going back to this text right here, but Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through one man. It's as simple as this one, friends. No resurrection, no hope. No resurrection, no hope. Aren't you glad that Jesus resurrected? Here's what Paul is saying. He created a scenario. Let's say, it was like saying, if Jesus didn't resurrect, here's what's going to happen. If Jesus did not resurrect, then, it says here, look at this one, our preaching is useless. Don't come here next Sunday. You don't have to. If Jesus did not resurrect, kalokohan, bakit pa tayo magpa-plan ng church sa Tagbilaran? Why do we have to go to India? Why do we have to go to Pakistan? I won't be preaching here. I'll do something else. Mag-artista na lang ako. Sayang naman yung bigote, di ba? Our preaching is useless. Then it says here, look at this one. Not just that. This is in the Bible. It says here, our faith is futile. Huwag mo na i-share yung faith mo nang damay ka pa ng iba. Wala po tayong pinagkaiba sa Islam. Wala po tayong pinagkaiba sa Buddhist pag hindi nag-resurrect si Jesus. Then it says here, look at this one. We are still on our sins. You look at your life before, you look at your life now, it's the same. Probably worse now. Then it says here, look at this one. We are lost. Then last one, it says here, we are to be pitied by all men. Don't take pride in people persecuting you or mocking you for your faith. Tama lang. But guess what? That is if Jesus did not resurrect. Aren't you glad that you worship a Jesus Christ who was resurrected from the grave? He died, was buried. On the third day, He rose again. It seals the deal. It seals the deal for every single one of us. The Bible says, look at this one, Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After His suffering, He showed Himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. Everybody say, proof. Few more things. Look at this one. People would say that His resurrection is the biggest hoax in history. You guys remember I Love You virus more than a decade ago? That guy who was brought in the United States. But anyway, there are so many stories that are not true. And people would say the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of those stories. Look at this one. Have you ever seen this on the film or movies or pictures wherein the tomb of Jesus Christ was depicted and there are two Roman soldiers guarding the tomb? Do you folks realize that historically that is inaccurate? Do you folks realize that when Jesus was buried, He was buried in a rich man's tomb in accordance with the scriptures in the book of Isaiah? And because He was buried in a rich man's tomb, guess what? We're not talking about two Roman soldiers guarding that tomb. We're talking about at least 16 Roman soldiers. People would say, it's because the disciples, you know, took the body of Jesus Christ. Number one, the disciples were cowards. Eh, babae pala nga, lalaki, nakapansin kay Peter, tumakbo na si Peter, dininay na si Jesus. 16 Roman soldiers pa kaya? It's impossible for His disciples to basically get this body from the tomb being guarded by the Roman soldiers. And we're talking about a 2-ton stone being rolled there. He was buried. If you look at how people would bury, people were crucified, they wrapped them up with what? Together with 100 pounds of spice. Kung hindi siya namatay sa crucifixion, mamamatay siya sa sili. Not just that, the Bible is very clear that they placed what? They placed a Roman seal on the tomb. You know what it means? No trespassing. You cannot even come near. Whoever trespasses will have to experience the full wrath of the Roman army. That is how important this dead man right here is. Let's look at things this way. Let's say Mav and I, you know, figured in an altercation. Let's say he lost his phone and he is blaming me for the loss of his phone. Sabi ni Mav sa akin, Archie, balik mo na yung cellphone ko, yung iPhone 10 ko, balik mo na. Sabi niya, mahal ang bili ko dyan, 70,000 yan, gold pa yan, rose gold. Mahal yung bili ko sa iPhone na yan. Sabi, wala sa akin yung cellphone mo, mukha ba akong magnanakaw? Mukha ba akong magnanakaw, bro? Hindi naman, di ba? Now here's the thing. Walang CCTV sa boarding house niya. Walang eyewitnesses. Tapos kasuhan niya ako. Ano sasabihin ng judge? 50-50. Pwedeng ninakaw ko, pwedeng hindi. Are folks catching this? Why? Because there's no eyewitnesses. Let's say, in that boarding house, may butas. Sumisilip pala si Kiko. Sumisilip si Kiko, nakita niya kinukuha ko yung cellphone. So ngayon, because of one eyewitness, the case will be what? Favorable for Mav against me. Are folks catching this? That's just one eyewitness. Can you imagine 515 witnesses in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what they were saying? They were not going around by saying, "Hey, we found an empty tomb." No. They were going around saying, "Hey, we found the Lord Jesus Christ." Cross-examine all 515 of them. They will arrive in one story. Jesus of Nazareth resurrected. Death is over. Now, hope has been sealed for every single believer of His name. Allow me to just share a quote by Timothy Keller. Allow me to end with this one. It says here, "If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that He said. If He didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what He said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like His teaching, but whether or not He rose from the dead." At the end of the day, church, as a Christian, guess what? Jesus has the receipt. You have hope because He has resurrected from the dead. Amen.